News is that smart? Wow. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We got to talk about Woody Allen's autobiography getting canceled from his publisher. A year ago, we reported on him on this program, and that show was titled The Briefest Worst Case Against Child Molester Woody Allen. The show summary from that program, it's so concise, and it lays out the case against him. It's absolutely devastating. So I'd like to share that with you. Also, in Washington, D.C., they are underreporting serious crime. A victim gets his neck slashed, and you'll hear how they report it in their stats. And I'll also recount a couple interactions we've had with the Washington, D.C. Police Department. The one time I called them to report domestic violence. Another time, did they arrest me that time? What is it? It was a catch and release. These are two separate incidents. The second one, it was a catch and release, right? They cuffed me, but then released me. So I guess that was a case of catch and release. So we'll talk about that. And also going through the BEL archives, not the audio or video archives of the program, but our scrapbooks, if you will, our scrap boxes, cases, trunks. This from 2002, and I got this while over in Greece. We took our Bible tour of Greece, and I learned something stunning. We went to the town of Berea. You've heard about the Bereans, who Luke wrote they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, because when Paul shared the gospel with them, they searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. Well, during World War II, a biblical scroll was stolen from the synagogue in Berea. Now, in Greece, they call it Berea with a V. The Bereans were more noble. And it was not allowed for the Jews to write in the margins of their scriptures. That's not something they would do. Well, there were two notes in the margins of this scroll, and it dates back to the second century before Christ. So it was a very old scroll, and the notes in the margins had to do with a visit from an apostle called Saul. That's Saul in Hebrew, Paul in Greek, who was preaching the arrival of the Messiah. This is shocking. This is the kind of thing that you often learn about when you do travel. And you think, I thought originally that if we went to Israel, which we've done now, led three tours there, that it's going to be all commercialized. But it turns out we learned so much. We created our Bible tour of Israel video, and we've also done a Bible tour of Turkey, right? We've never put out a Bible tour of Greece, although we should. We have all the material. And so what I'd like to do is read to you this account. This was published by the Central Board of Jewish Communities in Greece, and it's stunning. So we'll get to that. First, ABC News on the COVID-19 disease from this coronavirus. This is what they reported today. And it's sort of shocking that they would report this, but they did. They reported from an expert, quote, "We're in this state of fear, but the state of fear turns down the immune system." In other words, it weakens your immune system when you're afraid. When you spread fear to your friends, it's almost like spreading germs to them. You wouldn't want people to do that to you. We shouldn't do that to other people. ABC News today, March 9th, 2020. That's stunning. And of course, when you are afraid, when you're stressed, when you worry, your body responds chemically and it uses resources that then it cannot use for other purposes. And so the Bible warns us against worrying. Not only does it hurt emotionally, spiritually, but also physically, because it makes you more susceptible to sickness and to making mistakes. So anyway, wow, that's something that ABC News would do that, because the media and the Democrats, the party line is hype beyond hype, panic beyond panic, when the numbers of infected and the numbers of people who've tragically died so far are minuscule in the U.S. They're minuscule compared to the normal flu and to the H1N1 outbreak, the swine flu back in 2009, 2010. So the numbers right now are still minuscule. And the media, of course, and the Democrats, their panic is political, designed to get people to hate Donald Trump so he would not win re-election. But certainly what they're doing could backfire if it helps to keep the spread of the disease down, because people are afraid and they're not going out to restaurants. They're not going to the theater. They're washing their hands like crazy. That's a good thing to do. Spoken from a true germaphobe. Well, not really, but am I a germaphobe? Okay, I got a few yeses here in the studio audience. Well, you guys wouldn't know, but Dominic would know. I'm a major germaphobe? No, that's crazy. All right, so Woody Allen had the nerve. Wicked people tend to have no shame. And he wrote his autobiography and was getting it published by the same publisher, the parent company of the publisher that published Ronan Farrow's Catch and Kill, about the media in America, their ability to write exposés on powerful men, typically leftist liberals, pigs, pro-aborts, who sexually harass and abuse, assault women, but they don't. They don't report until Ronan Farrow's work in the Me Too movement. Well, Woody Allen was dating Mia Farrow for years, and the case against Woody Allen is severe. And we did it. We covered it. You might want to go to kgov.com/Woody Allen if you're interested in hearing that. But I'd like to read to you the show summary. The program is titled The Briefest Worst Case Against Child Molester Woody Allen. So we did what we always do. We made it concise and gave a list of the evidence against him. So I'll read the summary, the written description of the program. Liberals love Hollywood's hero, Woody Allen. What's not to love? Well, aside from his affinity for convicted child rapists like Jeffrey Epstein and Roman Polanski, right? These are two child sex offenders, and he had a friendship with both of them. Talk about being tone deaf on top of everything else. Aside from his affinity to these sexual predators, there's the girl, Babbie Engelhard, whom Allen criminally began a sexual relationship with when she was only 16 years old. And there's the court that found clear evidence indicating Allen molested his 7-year-old daughter, Dylan, whom he had adopted with Mia Farrow. So all his supporters over the years who said it's a he said, she said, that's a lie, that's false, it's never been true. It's way more than a he said, she said, and a court found clear evidence that he was guilty, but because of the trauma that a trial would cause to little Dylan beyond what she had already endured, they decided not to go further with the legal proceedings against Woody Allen. And molesting Dylan happened while Allen was, quote, dating Dylan's older sister. How's that one? And while he continued to be interested in their mother, Mia Farrow, he helped to raise this older sister, Soon-Yi, his de facto stepdaughter, for about 10 years while he was Pharaoh's, quote, partner. Imagine that. He's the de facto stepfather. Then Alan begins his infamously creepy relationship with the girl. His obsession gets her fired from her summer camp counselor job. Imagine that. She's a summer camp counselor, but he's obsessed with her, and they're on the phone constantly. She gets fired from the job because of Woody Allen. Her de facto stepfather, who now wants a sexual relationship with her. He eventually marries this young woman who's been like a daughter to him. He continues to describe his relationship with her, and this is even in the last couple of years, as parental. When he's interviewed and they ask him about his relationship, he actually used the word parental. It's like it's parental. I mean, the guy is not only tone deaf, but wicked. And when asked about his thoughts towards Sun Yi back in the late 1980s when this happened, and that's when she was still a teenager and his de facto stepdaughter, he answered, "Well, I thought it would be just a fling." How's that? Tone deaf? Then the mother, Mia Farrow, became enraged all over again when she found raw photos that Woody Allen took of his stepdaughter, Sun Yi. Despicable sexual photos of this girl. This led Woody Allen to immediately try to make amends. You know what he did? To make amends, he offered a marriage proposal, like to make things better. Who did he offer to marry? Who did he want to marry? Sun Yi? No. Her mother, Mia Farrow. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's no bottom to this abyss. And with all that, this child-molesting pervert, Woody Allen, remains a celebrated hero to countless liberals. And finally, Allen's on-screen perversion, the films that he made, true of Hollywood generally, for until Hollywood respects women on camera, they will never respect them off camera. His films will forever condemn him unless he repents. On that show, we also talked about Alec Baldwin, one of the other beautiful people, and of the only jury in Los Angeles history that was blasted as it should have been by the judge. So that was last year. And now Woody Allen's autobiography was to be published. And he had a contract. The book was done. It's set to come out, and staff at the publisher walked out on, when was that, Friday? They walked out. And one of the CEO of the imprint that published Ronan Farrow's book, Catch and Kill, and by that he meant that America's elite media would catch a sexual predator and then kill the story, catch and kill. Not catch and release, catch and kill. And so the CEO of Ronan Farrow's imprint that published his book thought, well, okay, this is a crisis, but let's have a town hall and we'll talk this through with their staffers and all. He couldn't get any of the other officers of his publishing group to join him in the town hall, none of the staff. And so the parent company said, okay, we are throwing out the contract. We're not going to publish Woody Allen's autobiography. So that was another success of the Me Too movement. That was really great. Good job there, guys. And then we have out of Washington, D.C., so this is reported by the local media there, a sergeant, Charlotte Josu. She's been on the job for 15 years, previously honored by the police chief there. And she's become a whistleblower of sorts because she's publicly saying that the police department is under-reporting serious crime, and they're doing that not only to make the city look better, but because she said, quote, the commanders and the captains get promoted and they get rewards when the crime stats are low. Isn't that something? Is it hard to believe? No, it's not hard to believe at all. So the media has seen some of these internal Metropolitan Police Department documents there in Washington, D.C. And one, the victim had her throat slashed. The second reported a man had a knife held to his neck in a case of domestic violence. Now, that's not the case that I reported. I'll get to that in a moment. Instead of that being an assault with a dangerous weapon, which is a felony charge that could get you up to 10 years in prison there, that was classified. In fact, both of these cases were classified as simple assault. Simple assault, which means you get a maximum of 6 months in jail. So all that is completely believable, of course, because it's no longer a criminal justice system. Now it's just a system. I called the DC cops. I made a domestic violence report. I reported that a woman threw in their home, threw a heavy glass ashtray at her husband, threw it right at his head. She missed. It hit the wall. Now, that kind of behavior in this country will land you in jail. You don't have to actually injure the person, but doing something like that, and obviously that could severely injure somebody, a heavy ashtray, hit the wall. And of course, if you follow the news, you probably know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when Hillary Clinton, she's not supposed to be above the law. She picked up this heavy glass ashtray, according to a Secret Service agent who was working on the White House detail, and hurled it at her husband's head. She should have gone to jail for this incident of domestic violence. So I was asked, the woman who answered the phone, right? I call the Washington Metropolitan Police Department. So I was asked for the address where this happened. And I said, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Do you know where that address is? Well, I can't even believe I'm being asked this. Well, I think it's in precinct one. I mean, that's a good guess as any, right? Oh, you mean where the big buildings are? Oh, yeah, that's it. Precinct one. Yeah, she said, yeah, that's precinct one. Yeah, that's where it is. 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And the wife threw this heavy glass ashtray at her husband's head. And there's probably a gash in the wall that the officers can see. And I don't think the ashtray broke. It was way too heavy. Probably would have split the guy's head. Okay, can I get your name and phone number? Sure. I never heard back. I wonder if police officers end up knocking on the door at the White House. And then there was the time, a separate incident, when I was arrested, or at least cuffed. It was a catch and release in D.C. Now, I know that Joe Biden recently imagined that he was arrested in South Africa trying to see Nelson Mandela. This is not like that. This really happened. And I was at least cuffed, but then released with a number of my friends. We were attempting to save the lives of children who were scheduled to be killed in an abortion clinic in Washington, D.C., and we had a lot of us there. There were actually three different abortion mills in Washington, D.C., across the river in Virginia, that our group split up and went to these different mills. And so the one I was at, we had probably 400 people there who were kneeling and praying in front of the doors of this child-killing center, worshiping the Lord, singing worship songs, really an amazing time in America's history during Operation Rescue. And the police started to arrest us, but there were so many of us. What are they going to do? There's more of us than there are police. So they pulled up these big police buses with bars on the windows and all. And they don't even have enough handcuffs for everybody. They're using the plastic handcuffs. And so they're cuffing everybody. The bus, the first bus is full, the second bus is full, and the buses are real close in because you can imagine they don't want to arrest you and then walk 100 yards and put you on a bus. The buses were right at the edge, right as close in as they could get them. So then the two buses are full and they continue to arrest and cuff us. And my friends and I think Pat Mahoney was there, if I recall. We said, you know, what are we going to do? They're going to pull away with these buses. Let's roll under the buses so that they can't drive away with the buses. And that means the buses become part of the rescue. And so that's what we did, probably 50 of us under each bus. And the buses became part of the rescue. It was really a phenomenal day. So I think those are my only two run-ins with the police in Washington, D.C. I did spend the night at the home of a federal marshal in the city, and that was fun. He told me that he had been reading the plot on Air Force One while flying over the Atlantic with Bill Clinton. I thought, well, that's different. That's a neat story. And it is astounding how over the years, the message, the Christian worldview, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of Genesis and Exodus, a biblical criminal justice system, all these ideas have gone so far and so wide. And it's thanks to you guys out there who've been helping out. Now, in the last, 3 days or so, you know, we have our telethon, and our goal is ambitious, $40,000, and we're at $3,000. I want to share with you Stan B. from Sammamish, Washington, Rick S. from Bullard, Texas, Chet M. from Tyrone, Pennsylvania, Paula C. from Wrentham, Massachusetts, Linda B. from Atlantic Beach, Florida, Fred N. from Jonesboro, Arkansas, Gina H. from Littleton, Colorado, Randall R. from Colorado Springs, Edward C. from Thornton, Colorado, Mel L. from Warsaw, Indiana, Tom C. from Australia, thank you, Tom, Alan W. from Denver, Catherine R. from El Paso, Illinois, not Texas. Tricky there, Catherine, you almost tricked us. Daniel H. from Englewood. We have another Daniel H. supporter from, I think it's Maryland. Peter K. from Littleton, and Chet M. from Tyrone. Wait a minute, we already did. Chet, you're not allowed to help twice. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, you are. Thank you so much. And the good news is that most of these are people we have heard from for the very first time. So after 29 years being on the air, we continue to reach more and more people. If you can possibly help us, stay on the air, continue broadcasting, continue with our web presence. We need your help. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, or go to our website, kgov.com, click on the store, and then the subscriptions, monthly donations help the most. But you know what's really selling? Our science materials. That's a way for people to support us and to get really fabulous information. In fact, the same is true, we think, with our Bible studies, our sermons, topical videos, the BEL televised classics, back when the show was a TV show. You can get those. It's all so fun, and there's a 30-day money-back guarantee on everything. Okay, so we go to Greece. We have an astounding time learning about the Bible there in Greece. I've spent about 3 years studying Greek so that I could look at the New Testament from the perspective of the original language that it was written in. And so we visit Berea, where the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. So I have in my hand here a publication. We're going to have to put this online. It's only 3 pages. Let's put this online. You think we could put it with today's show summary? KGov.com. Look for the March 9th, 2020 program. History and Life of the Jewish Community of Veria, V-E-R-I-A. Published by the Central Board of Jewish Communities in Greece. Athens, December 2002. Because this is published by the Jews, it adds tremendous credibility to what is claimed, because it's like testimony contrary to interest. They don't have a goal of promoting the historical truth of the book of Acts. They don't have that goal, right? They're Jews. They're not Christians. But let me begin to read this to you. An ancient scroll from the Berea Synagogue, the Bereans. The text that follows was published in Kathamenary newspaper on May 13, 1951, under the column Notes of an Athenian, in a letter published 3 days later on the 16th of May, 1951, a reader signing under the name Inelatus, probably the late Asher Moises, wrote that the scroll is the Torah of the synagogue in question. Okay, so there's an explanatory note at the beginning of this text. Translated into English then from Greek by Ilana Antonoglu. What Mr. Isaac Campbellis wrote me on the occasion of the forthcoming festivities of the Apostle Paul concerning the passing of the Apostle Paul from Veria was very interesting. In early September 1940, Mr. Campbellis, in his capacity as the general director of the Grand Jewish Community of Thessalonica, visited Veria and its very old synagogue. I've gone there. I've been in there where they held the Torah scroll. We were right there. The synagogue has very old scrolls of the Holy Scripts, and the aged rabbi of the city showed Mr. Campbellis one of them. However, as the rabbi told Mr. Campbellis, the specific scroll was not used during religious ceremonies and was considered pasul in Hebrew, that is not suitable for reading. Well, why not? Phrases were written in the margins of the scroll, something clearly forbidden, informing readers about the visit of a shaliah, that is an apostle, called Saul, right? Paul in Greek, Paulos, who was preaching the advent of the Messiah. Another part of the scroll mentioned the date of the apostles' preaching in the synagogue of Veria. Apparently, this writing dates back to the first Christian times when Jews were using many Aramaic letters. And it goes on. I'll share the rest with you perhaps later in the week. Remember our telethon, kgov.com. May God bless you.